Yeah, said another star person. Let's get him. Let's throw him off the tower. Yeah, let's get him and throw him off the tower. The crowd surged forward. Twoflower held up his hands. I'm sure there's just been a slight mistake, he began, before his legs were kicked from underneath him. Oh, bugger, said Cohen, dropping his dog end and grinding it under a sandaled foot. He drew his sword and looked around for the luggage. It hadn't rushed to Twoflower's aid. It was standing in front of Rincewind, who was clutching the Octavo to his chest like a hot water bottle and looking frantic. A star man lunged at him. The luggage raised its lid threateningly. I know why it hasn't worked, said a voice from the back of the crowd. It was Bethan. Oh, yeah, said the nearest citizen. And why should we listen to you? A mere fraction of a second later, Cohen's sword was pressed against his neck. On the other hand, said the man evenly, perhaps we should pay attention to what this young lady has got to say. As Cohen swung around slowly with his sword at the ready, Bethan stepped forward and pointed to the swirling shapes of the spells, which still hung in the air around Rincewind. That one can't be right, she said, indicating a smudge of dirty brown amidst the pulsing, brightly coloured flares. You must have mispronounced a word. Let's have a look. Rincewind passed her the Octavo without a word. She opened it and peered at the pages. What funny writing, she said. It keeps changing. What's that crocodile thing doing to the octopus? Rincewind looked over her shoulder and, without thinking, told her. She was silent for a moment. Oh, she said levelly. I didn't know crocodiles could do that. It's just ancient picture writing, said Rincewind hurriedly. It'll change if you wait. The spells can appear in every known language. Can you remember what you said when the wrong colour appeared? Rincewind ran a finger down the page. There, I think, where the two-headed lizard is doing whatever it's doing. Twoflower appeared at her other shoulder. The spell flowed into another script. I can't even pronounce it, said Bethan. Squiggle, squiggle, dot, dash. That's Cup of Muggock, snow runes, said Rincewind. I think it should be pronounced zth. It didn't work, though. How about sf? They looked at the word. It remained resolutely off colour. Or sf, said Bethan. It might be tsf, said Rincewind doubtfully. If anything, the colour became a dirtier shade of brown. How about zf, said Twoflower. Don't be silly, said Rincewind. With snow runes, the... Bethan elbowed him in the stomach and pointed. The brown shape in the air was now a brilliant red. The book trembled in her hands. Rincewind grabbed her around the waist, snatched Twoflower by the collar, and jumped backwards. Bethan lost her grip on the Octavo, which tumbled towards the floor and didn't reach it. The air around the Octavo glowed. It rose slowly, flapping its pages like wings. Then there was a plangent, sweet, twanging noise, and it seemed to explode in a complicated silent flower of light, which rushed outwards, faded, and was gone. But something was happening much further up in the sky. Down in the geological depths of Great Artuin's huge brain, new thoughts surged along neural pathways the size of arterial roads. It was impossible for a sky turtle to change its expression, but in some indefinable way, its scaly, meteor-pocked face looked quite expectant. It was staring fixedly at the eight spheres endlessly orbiting around the star on the very beaches of space. The spheres were cracking. Huge segments of rock broke away and began the long spiral down to the star. The sky filled with glittering shards. From the wreckage of one hollow shell, a very small sky turtle paddled its way into the red light. It was barely bigger than an asteroid, its shell still shiny with molten yolk. There were four small world elephant calves on there, too, and on their backs was a discworld, tiny as yet, covered in smoke and volcanoes. Great Artuin waited until all eight baby turtles had freed themselves from their shells and were treading space and looking bewildered. Then, carefully, so as not to dislodge anything, the old turtle turned and, with considerable relief, set out on the long swim to the blessedly cool, bottomless depths of space. The young turtle